Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, let us get past the elementary stage in the teachings about the Christ, advancing on to maturity and perfection and spiritual completeness, without laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. I want to try to preach to you on the topic that I shared with you Wednesday night, the coulda, woulda, shoulda will kill you. And who's praying for us, Brother Brandon?
Lord, I just pray that you just speak to us right now, Lord, in this place, Lord. You just give something profound that we've never heard before, Lord. You just open up our ears, Lord. Just have the, Lord, that we just be sensitive to the Spirit, Lord. Just let you, Lord, I just pray that you just have your way in this place and just speak to us.
Amen. Thank you for standing. God bless you. You can be seated. You say, my God, we stand too much in that church. We're trying to get your spiritual blood flowing again. In this particular chapter, the Apostle Paul proceeds to persuade the Hebrews to make better proficiency, if you please, in religion and what they had done. And he does this as presenting it as the best way to prevent apostasy. Luann, it's good to see you back there. I saw you a few minutes ago. It's good to see you. So he does this as a way of preventing the church to fall into apostasy. If you don't know what apostasy means, it just means it's a total departure of the faith. I had to teach a PI class in Stowe on Friday night, and I asked them a few questions. I said, how do you intend to overcome the things that you can't even imagine at this stage in your life will come upon you at some future point in your life? How do you suppose to do that? How do you intend? And of course, some of the common answers come out, prayer. Well, can I ask you an honest question? How many of you struggle with prayer today? Just be honest and raise your hand. Thank you for your honesty. So I would suggest, and that's probably not going to work. Not that prayer doesn't work, because it does, and I'm not going to get into what I had shared with you. But the point being, as I said, well, what about all of those that have walked with the Lord and have completely fallen away from God? People you know, my list is so long. I've run out of space in my notebook 25 years ago, and I got to keep buying new ones. The Apostle Paul is sharing with the church here, and urging them to become more proficient, more calculated, and more resilient in their walk with God, so they do not fall into a place of apostasy where eventually they completely fall away from God. And so he says, he begins in this text by reading and saying it this way. He said, let's get past the elementary stage in the teachings about Christ. You know, I've had a lot of people from a lot of churches, and we're just going to meddle with this and we'll see where it goes today, that have come into our church over the years. And one thing that I've heard from every one of them, every last one that have come from another denominational church, how come you never invite people up to pray the prayer of repentance? Well, first of all, I don't believe that you just pray a prayer of repentance. That's the first thing. Now, I do believe you need to repent, and I do believe that you need to accept the Lord into your life. But I furthermore believe that you need to be baptized in the powerful name of Jesus. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But here's what bothers me. And I tell them, my answer is the same time every time, because almost everybody in this church has been born again already. That's why. Why do you want me to spend my entire life talking about accepting Jesus? How about we talk about overcoming? How about we talk about growth, spiritual growth, personal growth? How about we talk about not continuing in the same things that we continue in? How about we talk about some of those things? How about we get off some of the little, and boy, I'm going to probably offend some of y'all today, but how about we get off the little Halloween kicks and get off the little Christmas tree kicks at this time of year? And how about you fix your life? How about you not, hold on a second, how about you not live in sin? How about you not move in with your boyfriend or your girlfriend? How about you not continue to dabble in those things on the internet that you dabble in? How about we not join the rest of the world in going in the bathrooms at church and making our carnal TikTok videos? The Apostle Paul in this text is saying to them, let's get past the elementary stage in the teachings about Christ. He said it. The apostle said it. And he said, and advance on to maturity and perfection and spiritual completeness. See, there's a place that God wants you to begin, and there's a place that God wants you to finish. And if we're always in the beginning stages, you can never complete what it is that God is trying to complete in your life. And he says, doing this without laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Meaning, don't keep yourself at a stage and a level in your life where you're always saying, God, I'm sorry, I messed up again. Paul is saying at some point, he's not being critical either, but at some point he's saying, I want you to be able to move on past this. And I want you to grow in completeness and into the fullness of where God is trying to grow you. I want you to become an ambassador and no longer a pupil or a student for the gospel and for the kingdom of God. And so in order to do this, he's saying concerning the principles of Christ and the word of God, he's saying we must not lose them. We must not despise those teachings. We must not forget about them. We must lay them up in our hearts, and we must lay them as the foundation of our profession and expectation. But we cannot rest, and we must stay in that, meaning we can't let our foot off the gas pedal. We cannot afford to become lackadaisical. We cannot afford to become lethargic. We cannot afford to become passive in our approach with God. That's not to criticize yesterday, but it's to say tomorrow I must be more aggressive in my pursuit of God, in my pursuit of holiness, in my pursuit of righteousness. I must be more aggressive in my desire to understand the Lord more and to get deeper in the things of God. Or... he said, we'll always be laying the foundation of repentance. We'll be laying the foundation and tearing it apart and starting back over and tearing it apart and starting back over. And I can assure you, as somebody who is not a professional builder, but somebody who has helped build this church and in my own addition to my house and a few other little things, I've had to restart things a lot. And there is nothing that's more frustrating than doing something and realizing you did it all wrong and you got to take it apart because you never get ahead. It's like you never move forward. I wish I could get some folks who would hear me today. I wish I had some folks today that didn't just want to sit there on a chair and say, I clocked in today, but said, I want to be preached to today because I don't want to be in this same place in 5 months from now. I don't want to be at this same place next year at December, whatever it is, but I want to be farther in God than what I've ever been. And in order for that to happen, I'm going to have to lay hold of some things and I'll have to relinquish some things and I'm going to have to finally act upon on some things rather than keep laying the same foundation. Preacher preaches, I come up, I slobber and I blobber and I say, okay God, I'm going to fix it this time, and then I wind up right back where I started, laying the same foundation. And the apostle said, brother, he said, let's get past the elementary stage in the teachings about Christ and let's advance to maturity and perfection and spiritual completeness. What I am charging you today is this. Let's get past the elementary things in our walk with God, and let's purpose in ourselves that we're going to advance to maturity and completeness in what it is that God has already begun in our lives. In verse 2, of teaching about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. in quotations, he said, these are all important matters in which you should have been proficient long ago. I shouldn't have to teach seasoned saints about repentance. And repentance is not, and I'm not saying that I do, I'm just talking. But repentance is not, again, just saying I'm sorry. But it's changing our lives. It's saying I am going to abandon that life and that pathway. And I'm going to walk on this new path that God has placed before me. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, let's not be teaching about the basic things, but let's grow this church. Let's grow your temple. Let's grow your walk with God. Let's grow you in strength and might that you learn to operate in the unction and the strength of the Lord and the power of the Holy Ghost. Is anybody with me? And he says, and we will do this if God permits. For it is impossible to restore to repentance those who have once been enlightened and who have tasted and consciously experienced the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted and consciously experienced the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away. It is impossible to bring them back again to repentance. I'll explain that in a moment. Since they again nail the Son of God on the cross. For as far as they are concerned, they're treating the death of Christ as if they were not saved by it. And are holding him up again to public disgrace. He says it's impossible for them. Let me read this to you in the King James and maybe it'll help you a little bit. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. So to clarify that, I'll put it to you this way. If you are in this place today, chances are, save one or two of you, you have been enlightened by the word of God or by a personal conversation or by a revelation that God has shown you. At some point in your life, you have already been enlightened to the things of God. You've tasted of the heavenly gift. You were made partakers. God has filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if not, he will do it. And he says, it's impossible if you've done those things, if you fall away again, to renew them again to repentance. Now, let me explain that to you. That doesn't mean it's impossible for you to come back to the Lord. But what he's saying here is, traditionally, when we have tasted of the things of God, we've heard the preaching, we've heard the word, we have amended it, we have affirmed it. If we will treat that with such little regard, and we will not apply those things that we have already received to our lives, it would be almost impossible for you to ever come back to the Lord and to where God wants you, because we have already and neglected what God has already given. We've treated it as if it didn't matter. We've treated it as if it was optional and not necessary or not something that we must do. We've treated it as it was just another storybook and it was something that we didn't take true and apply to our lives. And when one does that, what happens is they are laying the groundwork for them to fall into a place of apostasy. And I'm going to tell you something today. I've had more people than I can count have told me over the years, I'll never fall away from God. I'll never quit church. I'll never walk away from God. And they're gone. Do you know why? Because they did not regard the word when it was preached. Let me say it this way. Whatever is said from this pulpit today, if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it hits home with you, then you need to go home and do something about it. God has empowered you through the word of God. In the latter part of that verse, it says, because they nail upon the cross again the Son of God afresh and are holding him up to contempt and shame and public disgrace. You know what that means? That means when you do not allow the word of God to do what the word of God needs to do, and sometimes that's to pull you up, to pull you out, to correct your course, to fix your thinking. when you don't allow it to do that, that's as if you are nailing Christ to the cross again, because you're saying what was already done did not have the power to do what needs to be done at this point in your life. That's what it says. I'm going to preach at you, then I'll preach for you. You just give me a couple minutes. We were to ask ourselves how many times in our lifetime, in our time in serving the Lord, have we heard a word that we knew was for us, that we knew was applicable to us. Something that may have encouraged you or inspired you, and that's what the Word of God is supposed to do, or challenged you, or in cases even rebuked you. And we take that and we cherish it. We embrace it. We leave. We don't go home and get offended, but we embrace it. Because I know this is the power of the Word of God. And I know the Word of God is only to perfect me and to change me and to better me and to pull me farther away from the things of the world, which then would minimize the chance of me falling back into the world. The farther I get from those things, the better my chances are of continuing on this journey until I make it into heaven. Heaven. Something we don't think about much. Too many TikTok videos to make. Too many Facebook posts to post. Too many videos to watch on YouTube. Heaven. What's heaven? And then we come to a place in society where is heaven even real? Or heaven's not real. Hell's not real. I know. Heaven and hell's not real. But just blame God for the condition of the world. That's all. Let's doubt those things, but then let's still try and hold God accountable for the condition of society. Let me tell you something. The condition of society, the evil around you, is proof that hell is very real. Very real. And the Word of God, the richness of the Word of God, is proof that heaven is real. It's proof that God is trying to keep our feet on stable footing in order to get us through this life into the next. It's proof that God loves us enough that He reaches for us endlessly and He pulls at us endlessly and He does not leave us in the stink of our own making, but He always tries to create a way to get us out of where we are, to get us into where God wants us. But you see, if you walk out of here today, do you want to know why people go to hell? We've listened to another lie from the devil. If God were a God of love, why would He send you to hell? Listen, God ain't your first grade teacher that gave you a reward just so you didn't lay on the floor and kick your feet and scream and go accuse everybody of discriminating against you. God honors decisions. God honors a pure heart. God honors somebody. He don't look at you because of your sin or your faults or your failures, but He looks at you because of your determination to grab a hold of the cross and the Word of God and get out of that mess and set your feet on a place where God is trying to put you in order to get you into glory. And so, if you walk out of here today and you continue to do the things the same way that you have done, you have taken the Lord and you have nailed Him to the cross again, and you have pretended as if what He has already done was not sufficient for you. All right, can I get down and dirty for a second? I'm going to do it. And I'm preaching to myself every service through Brother Jerry, if it helps everybody know. How many messages do we have to hear about fornication before you stop sleeping with your girlfriend, your boyfriend? You think it's all hidden and secret. You think nobody knows. God knows. How many messages do we got to hear about the power of God's deliverance until we stop allowing addiction to control our lives and we put it in the hands of the Lord and we put it under the blood of Jesus? You see, when we continue in that, I'm going to tell you what happens. You get to a place in life, and all you do is you live in your shame, and you talk about what you could have done, or what you would have done, or what you should have done. But because the couldas and the wouldas and the shouldas will eventually kill you, because you never come out of that. You never allow the power of the cross to do what the power of the cross does, which is to liberate you and set you free and to give you glory and a promise for you to latch a hold of and say, this is worth living for. It's worth it. No clue how that happened. It must have ricocheted off the sponge or something. You see, I've decided long ago, as some of you have as well, that I already know that on my best day, I'll never make it to heaven. So I acknowledge who I am. Who am I? I'm just a nobody that God came into my life and gave me some purpose. And He pulled me out of my mess. And once in a while, I tend to trip on a crack in the sidewalk, and He picks me up and says, let's dust yourself off and let's keep moving. Let's not sit down there and cry because you bruised your knee. Let's not stay down there and whine about it because you fail. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying. He said, let's get back up and let's go. It's exactly what He said to Job. Job, let's not whine about everything you lost. Let's understand that you are serving the God of glory. And I have been here before you were ever thought of. And I'm the one that spoke this world into existence. And I can assure you, I can bring you out of where you are. And I can restore everything that you lost in this trial. God can restore everything that you've lost in time. Listen to me. You're not hearing what I just said to you. God can stop whining about, I should have got right with God 10 years ago. Who knows where I could be? God can restore all of it. You understand who this God is that we call Jehovah. He is the one that has always been. And you and I can't understand that. He came before the chicken and the egg. He's always been and always will be. And that's the God of glory. And I can assure you that God can pull you out of wherever you were. And He can restore whatever it is you've lost. But you got to want Him to. I'm going to get dirtier for a second. You got to understand, Facebook has been my challenge in life to keep my mouth shut. God has used social media to teach me to shut up. First of all, to realize ain't nobody cares what I got to say anyway. So once I realize that, I'll stop talking. Secondly, to understand, Jesus, you're the only one that can fix this mess. I can't understand. And if I touch some personal nerves here, that's good. That's what the Word of God is meant to do. I can't understand people that know the truth, that have been the truth, and they'll praise every worldly thing their children do, but never praise them one day when they were in the church every Sunday. They'll boast about all their worldly accomplishments, which will send them to hell even on their best day. And never once thank God that they stayed with it. And thank God that they were in church on Sunday morning. And thank God that they went to the altar. And thank God they got a hold of it. I can't understand it. That's people, Brother Johnny. That's people that just take the Lord, just nail them to the cross over and over again as if what God has done didn't matter. If the way that God made doesn't even matter to me, it's not relevant to my life. So, I may taste of the heavenly gift, feel the power and the ability of the Holy Ghost that operates in my soul, but still act like I'm down at the West Side Market tasting something and liking it. How much is that? Oh, God, no, I'm not paying that. I like what I feel, Lord. That was wonderful. Well, I never felt like nothing like that in my life. What's it cost? Well, you just got to deny yourself, take up your cross. Oh, no. No, I'm not willing to. No, you deny everything I want? You mean I can't live my life and have fun? Isn't that what God put us here to have fun? That's what we do. Listen, if you have sat here, I want you to know this today. And it's okay. Sometimes we need to have ourselves wrung out a little bit. If you have sat under the presence and the power and the glory of God, but you continue in your life because you don't want to pay the cost, that will be held to your account at judgment. God will look at you. The scripture says, and he opened up the books, and then he opened the book. And he judged every man according to their works. All these sensual preachers want to do is talk about the book of life. Well, I got news for you. In that chapter in Revelation, chapter 20, it doesn't even really go into detail about the book of life. But it does go into detail about the book of the works. And God's going to look, and he's going to open his book. I don't know if God has bifocals like me or not. But if he does, he's going to pull them down. He's going to flip the pages and say, huh. Yeah, I thought I had the preacher preach to you that day. But you just continued to do the same things you were doing and you didn't grab a hold of the word. And then he's going to flip the pages and he's going to say, yeah, I knew it. Right there. You made a promise to me. And you were very quick to break that promise. And you went right back into the things of the world with no conviction, no regard. And then let me make sure I get this right. I don't want to misquote you here, sir. Yep. And then you just quit going to church because you didn't want anybody telling you that lifestyle was wrong. And he's going to judge every man according to their works. You don't ever hear those people talk about that when they say, we're not saved by works. And we're not saved by works. But we're judged by them. We are judged by what we do. Now, I'm not trying to scare you, but I am trying to, well, maybe I am a little bit. If it works, then yeah. Because, Brad, I'm going to send you a picture. How fast can you get it on the screen for me? Give me a thumbs up when you have it and when you can get it up, get when it's ready for the screen. Many times in my life, I have thought to myself while I was in a moment of straying, I thought, what if the Lord takes my life in this moment? Now, I'm not suggesting to you, I'm not the guy that's going to tell you that if you slip up one day and then die, you're going to hell. That's not me. But I am the guy that tells you if you continue in that course, every man is tempted and drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust, when it hath conceived, brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. It's a process. Put it up. This beautiful young lady, 17 years old, was just killed in a car accident last week. Went left to center, hit another car head on. Goes to one of our churches down south, or out west, in the Lima area. Whenever I see things like this, it makes me think, what were her plans today? What was she going to do when she got off of work or out of school? Was she planning for North American Youth Congress next year? Maybe her boyfriend, who is also severely wounded, is still in critical condition. Maybe he was planning to propose to her as soon as she got out of high school. I don't know. All I do know is this. Is death happens to us all. You trying to scare me? Kind of. I'm trying to do what the devil don't want you to do, which is think about your mortality. I'm trying to do what he'd rather keep you away from, which is remember that you are mortal, that you are flesh, And whether you're 17 or whether you're 70, at one point in this life, God is going to take you and I home out of this world. And the only thing that matters is how I live my life for the Lord. The only thing that matters. You see, God is not there to drop the axe on you the moment you slip up. He's not there to hold your feet to the fire just because you had a bad week. But what he is there to do is get you in the house of God so the Word of God can go forward and the Word of God can correct you and correct course and correct your life. On Wednesday, I preached about influence. You got to be careful who you allow to influence your life. You're either going to allow God to influence you and the people of God, or you're going to allow people in this world to influence you. And I'm going to tell you something. They're not going to stand beside you in judgment. They will not. And you'll leave this place today, and you'll be wondering what you're going to eat when you should be wondering where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm not saying, well, my God, Pastor, I came to be picked up today. And you're not. Well, I'm trying to pick you up, out of your mess. You don't just put a Band-Aid on the leg when it's been cut off. You can take that picture down. I've seen this precious young lady at a lot of our events and conferences. I was saddened to hear it. Read this morning, I hope you pray for police around this country. I hope you're not one of those people that think, cops are out there. Yeah. Don't be so stupid as to fall into that mess. There are bad people. Some of us are sitting right here today. And there are bad cops. But it doesn't make them all bad. And just yesterday, a 20-year veteran of a police department was killed, left behind a wife and three kids right before Christmas. Breaks my heart to hear those things. Three children, they never planned for that day. We do not plan for eternity. We do not plan for those things. And so the scripture tells us to hang the laws of God about your neck and put them on your doorpost and put them in your eyelids if you have to and put them on the fence posts so when you walk back, everywhere you go, you see it. Everywhere you go. I've been in people's houses and they'd have scriptures posted in different areas of the house. If that's what you got to do, do it. Whatever you do, God will help you. God will strengthen you. God will enable you, but you've got to let him do it. Hebrews 12 and 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we talked about this, I think, a week or two ago, stripping off every unnecessary weight and this sin which does so easily and cleverly entangles us. The King James uses the word beset us. It means to oppose us successfully. Watch this. Whatever you carry in this place today, whatever it is that you come in here, and whatever shame that you feel, first of all, shame and guilt are one and the same. Some people respond to it wrong because they don't understand it. It's God trying to expose you, not to shame you, but to let you know that what I know, what God knows, and let you know it's not hidden, and let you know that God knows and you've got to get out of that. God wants to bring you out of that and away from that so it does not eventually consume you and swallow you up and lead you, as the apostle said to the Hebrews, to a place of apostasy where one day you're away from God and you don't know how you got away from God and you don't know if you ever get back from God. You're just living your life and I'll get in church one day, but it might be too late. Lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, that does easily oppose you, the things that Satan wants to rub in your face over and over again. They're meant to oppose you. They're meant to hinder you. They're meant to entangle you. They're meant to keep you oppressed so you can't lift your hands and feel the victory of God. They're meant to keep you in guilt so you can't feel and experience the joy of the Lord. They're meant to rob you of
God's purpose. They're meant to blind you so you cannot have the vision that God is trying to give you. So you don't think about what God is doing with your life. So you don't think, hey, think about it. Whenever you're in the world or doing the things of the world, or you got an attitude, or you're letting yourself fall into something, you're not godly minded then. You're not thinking about God's will for your life then. That's exactly what the adversary wants to do. He wants to oppose you by the sin that entangles you.
He says, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus. So I'm a beg this of you this morning. Whatever you go through in life, whatever you do, just make sure you're in church every Sunday. Give God an opportunity to pull you out. If you're going to go to hell on the pew at least. Give yourself a fighting chance. I'm being serious too. Give yourself a fighting chance. Because who knows, as the king of Nineveh said, who knows if God will stop and will not wage this wrath upon us and will spare us. The king of Nineveh called for a nationwide repentance. Boy, you almost wish that would happen again. He said, everybody fast. He said, I want the animals fasting. I want everybody to fast. You know why? Does anybody know why the king of Nineveh did that? Raise your hand if you know why. I'm gonna tell you the answer if you raise your hand. Anybody? It's not as hard as you think it is. It's not a trick question. Somebody knows you're afraid to say it. Why did the king of Nineveh do that? Because of the message Jonah preached. That's it. It's not a trick. Because of the sermon. A flawed preacher that didn't even want to be there. Makes me feel good about the days I don't want to be in church, Brandon. And because of that sermon that he preached, the king called a nationwide fast. And he said, if by chance God will spare us. He wasn't concerned about what if he doesn't. He wasn't concerned about anything else. He said, I'm going to roll the die here because I got nothing to lose. Either God destroys us or God has mercy on us. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. You ain't got nothing to lose by being in the house. It's only the Satan himself that wants to keep you out of the house of God. He wants to oppose you by the things in your life that entangle you. But I'll tell you what, if you're here, yeah, you might feel some guilt and shame. That's good. It lets you know your spiritual heart is still beating. It lets you know you're not dead yet to the voice of God. You should celebrate the conviction that God puts in your life. It means he loves you. And if you got to sit there and you got to weep and you got to say, God, have mercy on me, then do it. God, help me. Because the alternative is you'll spend a life thinking of what you could have done for the Lord and what you should have done and what you would have done. You'll spend your lifetime in regret. And then that regret drives you farther away from God. There are two roads of shame. One road leads you to the cross. One road, your shame becomes so profound that you throw yourself at the mercy of God. And you say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The other road leads you to self-destruction. One will propel you forward in your walk with God. As you approach him with honesty and sincerity of heart and humility, the other will entangle you. It will imprison you. And it will pull you eventually into apostasy. Then you spend your whole life. What I could have done. What I would have done. What I should have done. I had a man say it to me years ago. As a young boy, he backslid out of church. He got back in church. He said, oh, Pastor, all I can think about is all the years I've lost being out of church and away from God. I said, God can restore it all. That's biblical. He can restore it all. Don't spend your life in that type of regret. You know why? Because that weight will eventually pull you right back away as it did him. Satan's desire is to bury you in your mistake, to bury you in your shame, to bury you in your sin. His desire is for you to take it to the cross. But I've come to you today to say this to you. If you don't want to be the coulda, woulda, shoulda guy, you need to take hold of what God has brought to you today in whatever form He's brought, however it applies to your life. And you leave this place and you say, God, with your help, I will make changes. And be honest with God. He already knows. I'm probably going to slip a few times, God, but I'm going to need your help to get back up. And when you slip, your phone's going to ring one day and someone's going to say, hey, I missed you in church. He's trying to help you. He's trying to send somebody to you. I feel this pretty strongly today, and I'm going to be honest with you. This is another message. I walked out here this morning. I thought, God, I have no clue what you're doing with this today. None. Makes me feel like a failure. But I know what I feel right now. And I know what the Holy Ghost is saying to this church. And He's saying what Paul said to the Hebrews, and that is, no more can we continue like this. No more can we continue in the elementary stages about the teachings of Christ. But He said, let's advance onto maturity and perfection and spiritual completeness. Thank you, Brother Craig. And I got a challenge for you today. If you are one of those people that says, I do not want to continue in this infant stage, God, but grow me. Groom me. It's not easy. It's tough. It can be hard. It can be gut-wrenching sometimes. It's like going from 13 to 15. You feel all confused and you don't know where you fit in life. And you feel all this pull from every direction. It can be a whirlwind. That's why you got to find a private secret place to get a hold of God away from this mad world. Would you stand with me? I used to think that when I preached, Brother Jerry, that people were amazed. I did. I thought, man, I blew their socks off today. And now, 20 years later, I thank God, just that one person, just one. Thank you, Craig, for being the one. I'm serious. If you're the only one, that's okay. Because I have learned something. It's not about the emotional response. It's about the heart response. It's not about what you do just at that moment, but it's what God does inside of you. It's when God births something in you that begins to grow into something that will change you forever. I want to open this altar right now. And if you're one of those people that says, God, take me into spiritual maturity and completeness. Give me strength, God. Listen, you can't do it on your own. That's why you need Him. That's okay. You will fall by yourself. But if God be for me, who can be against me? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Lift your hands to heaven right now and call upon the Lord. Tell Him what you need. Talk with Him honestly. Don't be bashful. Don't be ashamed. Open up and let the Holy Ghost have His way.
Take me to the place where your peace and your love overflow. from all shame and guilt, chains are undone. Take me there. Take me there.
Come on, you don't need anybody but Jesus right now. Just talk to him. Let him love you.
I want to know what it feels like when heaven touches earth and I'm caught in between. I want to know what it feels like, glory of the Lord to fall. Fall on me. Take me there. Take me there. Take me there. Take me there. Take me to the place where your angels never cease to cry, holy, where the elders bow down and cast all of their crowns down at your feet. Take me there. Take me there. I want to know what it feels like when heaven touches earth and I'm caught in between. I want to know what it feels like, glory of the Lord to fall, fall on me. I want to know what it feels like when heaven touches earth and I'm caught in between. I want to know what it feels like, glory of the Lord to fall, fall on me. Take me there. Take me there. Cause I wanna know what it feels like. conscious hurt that I'm caught in between. I want to know what it feels like, glory of the Lord to fall on me.
Listen, don't open your eyes if you're praying. You need only do one thing, and that is when you feel yourself sinking, don't let yourself sink. That's it. Don't give in to the sinking. Don't just say, oh, well, I'm reserved to this thing. You've got to do like Peter did. You don't need anybody there. You just got to cry out. Cry out to the Lord. Don't be ashamed to cry out. Don't be afraid to cry out. Don't be too prideful to cry out. But cry out, save me, Jesus. I promise you, if some of you in this place would do that right now, you'd feel God in a way you've not felt Him in some time. If you're that person that I'm talking to, as they begin to sing again, I want you to cry out and not in your baby voice. I want you to use your manly or your womanly voice and say, Lord, I need you. He's not going to turn His back on you. He's not going to ignore you. But He's going to respond to you. Go ahead and lift your voices together right now. Lift your voices together right now. Hallelujah.
Praising His name, I just can't stop. Praising His name, I just can't stop. Praising the name that Jesus is. Can't stop.
Praising His name, I just can't stop. Praising His name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus.
So I can't stop.
Can't stop. Praising His name, I just.
Come on and give Him praise. Come on and give Him praise. God inhabits the praises of His people. Give Him praise right now. Bless His name.
Can't stop praising His
Hallelujah.
Name. I just can't stop praising His name. I just can't stop praising the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We praise Him for His victory. The weapons we use are our bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We praise Him for His victory.
Can't stop. Praising His name, I just can't stop. Praising His name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus. So I
can't stop. Praising His name, I just can't stop. Praising His name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus.
So lift up your voice.
Lift up your voice and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout. We praise Him for His victory. The weapons we use are not bombs and guns. Worship is the way that the battle is won. This is the way that we fight. We praise Him for His victory.
I can't
stop. Praising His name, I just can't stop.
Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus,
I can't
stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus.
So
every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever.
Every knee
shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever.
Yes, every knee.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever.
Yes, every knee.
Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever.
I can't stop.
Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus. Can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop.
Won't you take somebody's hand right now beside you? Take the hand and hold it up high and proclaim the victory of the Lord in their life. Come on, proclaim the victory of the Lord in their life. Proclaim it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it. Speak it.
Praising the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever.
Every knee
shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever.
Yes, every knee.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever.
Every knee
shall bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord forever. Can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus. Can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus. Can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus.
So I can't stop.
Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus.
Praising his name, I just can't stop.
Praising the name of Jesus. Can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising his name, I just can't stop. Praising the name of Jesus.
Gracious Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the strength that you give us, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord. As one day we look back, Lord, we can't say I could have, I would have, and I should have. But we can say I did in the name of Jesus. With your help, Lord, whatever lay before us, Lord, Lord, you helped us grow. Lord, you set a path out before us, Lord. You helped us stay on that, Lord. Lord, we just our faith did not waver, Lord. Lord, we want to have no regrets each day, Lord. We may have our failures. We may stumble, Lord. But as we move forward, Lord, we're moving towards you. We're moving to the towards the throne, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to have no regrets, but we want to give you glory. We want to show this world, Lord, that I heard that word and I could have listened. I should have listened and I would have listened. But I did listen. I listened to the word that came forth, and it helped me grow. It helped me draw closer to you. It helped me win my family. It helped me win my friends. It helped me win my coworkers. It helped grow the kingdom. In Jesus' name, we give you glory. We give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.